Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Joining us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, he is the president of West Virginia University, the former president of The Ohio State University. Dr. Gordon Gee joins us on the show. Mr. President, Dr. Gee, Gordon, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Oh, I am honored to be here. Love Cleveland, by the way. You know that.
Well, we do know that. We do remember you fondly on some of the visits that you did make and coming up from Columbus. First off, what's this summer been like? We'll get into the football here in a second, but what's summer been like for you as a university president?
Well, first of all, I must say that I'm a Luddite. I never thought that I would enjoy working remotely and using Zoom and so forth, but I found that I'm able to do a lot of work and be pretty efficient. But, you know, as a university president, the sense of being on a campus with a lot of students and faculty and staff, that human contact is very missing. But I have been, I live on the university campus and university residence, so I do at least have the sense of the university every day.
And we know you still got to be wearing the bow ties, whether it's virtual
or not.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely. Every morning.
I'm curious when we get to the discussion of football, and we're seeing some of the lower-level teams start to bow out some Division III teams. We saw the Ivy League schools say, we just can't do this right now for the fall. Maybe we'll get back to you in the spring. Who will eventually make the decisions about this? Will it be state and local governments, the health officials? Will it be university presidents, Power Five commissioners? Who makes the call?
I think all of the above will be working together, but I think that basically I believe it's going to be the Power Five commissioners with their presidents. In the Big 12, we call every other week. I'm talking with the commissioner tomorrow. Our commissioner is sort of the senior commissioner now, and Bob Bowlesby, and so he needs a lot of those discussions, but I think that, I was an Ivy League president at Brown, so I know that I'm not surprised that they made that decision, because they really play each other and don't participate in bowl games, et cetera, and that's probably a wise decision for them. But for the larger Power Five institutions, we have to take a look at our fan support and a variety of other things, as you know.
But, Dr. Gee, if we have some health organizations who could be at odds with administrators, who wins out in those battles? Because you're going to see that in play for not only universities, but our local schools all across the country with different edicts being sent down.
I know. That's part of the problem, is the fact that you get so many different kinds of conversations that are ongoing. Between health officials. Now, we of course, have great, we have a wonderful academic medical center. We have our health officials who really are helping to drive the state. It's a small state, as you know, so there are, the university really does in many ways account for a lot of the health system. Our vice president is what we call the coronavirus czar, and the governor has put him in charge of making a lot of these decisions. Saying that, the way that I view it is pretty simple, and that is the fact that we have a hammer and we have a dance. The hammer is that we just shut everything down, and we have done that. But now we know that this virus is going to linger. We know that there's a vaccine coming, and we have to learn to dance with the thing. And we have to learn to dance with it in opening. We have to learn to understand how we can best be safe, but also there's a lot of collateral damage, particularly in the university. The mental health issues on university campuses are rampant right now. Our students are in their basements. They're having a lot of problems. Suicides among young people are way up. You have to be concerned as a university president about the 360 degree issues. It's not simply about the pandemic, but it's also about the considerable risk in terms of the collateral damage, which I think is now growing to be really rampant.
Dr. Gordon Gee joining us on the show right now. Do you plan, because of all those issues, and it's like, well, maybe it's better for the students to come back to campus with proper precautions, are you guys preparing to have students on campus in the fall?
Absolutely. I think that's absolutely critical for the reasons that I've stated. I believe that we've put in a lot of protocols. Our safety protocols are very very forward-thinking. We're going to test every student, every faculty, every staff. They come back onto campus. We're going to make certain we have ways to isolate students if they do come down with the virus. And we obviously have put into a lot of precautions in terms of teaching in person. And we'll probably have some hybrid classes, which means part of it online, part of it in person. But I think it is essential for the quality of our education for our young people, for us to get back onto campus and to safely do so.
Is that the same, especially with football? Because the old argument was during the parts of the spring was, well, if you can't have students on campus, then you can't have football. But if there's students on campus, could there be football, not just with West Virginia, but the rest of the Big Ten and big time college, or rest of the Big 12, I should say, and the rest of big time college football?
Well, I think that we all agree that it would be pretty difficult to have football or any kind of athletic issues if we did not have students present on campus in some form or other. But saying that, you know, I think that most of the large public institutions, most of the institutions in the Big Ten, the Pac-12, others are, in addition to the Big 12, are looking at some form of opening, and I believe that is a wise decision. I really do.
Dr. Gee, we know what an economic driver college football is, not only for sports, the universities, and those communities of the universities, but unlike, say, the NBA, where they are going to have a bubble, or the MLS with soccer, where they're going to have a bubble, how safe will it be for the university communities to have student-athletes practicing, then on the field, then in the film room, and then back into the campus community? How safe will that be?
Well, I think that is the dance. We have to make certain that we have all the precautions and in place. We need to make certain we're following all the health protocols. We need to make certain that our coaches are setting a good example, wearing masks, doing all the kinds of things that need to be necessary. And of course, we're testing our student athletes regularly. They're already back on campus, many of them, and so we're testing them regularly. And if they test positive, then we isolate them and make certain that we keep them out of harm's way. So that is the way that we're going to have to run athletics, the same way that we're going to have to run the university. And I think that in the end will prove to be a very good decision.
Now, we know that the Baltimore Ravens have just announced in the NFL they're going to have severely limited seating down to 14,000. Some of these universities, you know, at Ohio State, where you had two runs, over 100,000 fans, places like Michigan, places like Wisconsin, we know how big the fan support is across the Midwest and beyond. How does the model hold up if there is limited capacity or, worst case scenario, no fans?
Well, you know, I keep joking about the fact that I'm going to take my ankles and go out and play if I have to, but I think that I may have to become cheerleader and band member too. You never know. But I think that we're going to have to limit our seating. We are taking a look at about a 50% limitation. I think Ohio State is doing about 40 to 50%. I can't remember quite what they're doing. I think that most places are looking at that, and then how you configure that for your fans. But this is a one-time issue, we hope, so that we ask everyone to be patient with us about how we distribute that seating, and obviously want to make certain that our students have that experience. It is a It is like planning the Normandy invasion, my friend. It is not easy. There are more questions than there are answers, but I am one of those who believe that you can't look to the rearview mirror. We cannot shut down society. We can't shut down life. 88,000 people died of influenza last year, most of whom had the flu shot. 50,000 of us died in car wrecks, and we all have driver's licenses. So we have to deal with the risk and reward and also the collateral damage, as I say.
Dr. Gordon Gee joining us on the show, president of West Virginia University. What is spring football feasible as of right now to you?
I think that is one of the scenarios that is being looked at. I do not know all the nuances of it, but I know that is one of the scenarios that that they're looking at. Obviously, everyone is looking at a variety of different scenarios, but we're going to have to do it together because of the interlocking nature of our football and television contracts across the board. So the answer is, I don't know how we would make that happen, but that is a possibility.
We know Dr. Anthony Fauci has said consistently that the virus will create its own timeline. With all that said, is there something the virus can do over the next month that could force an earlier drop dead date or force a decision that we don't necessarily want to make?
Well, I think, we've got a spike going on right now. And I tell all of our students by remotely, obviously, and send out notes and a variety of other things. And I say, look, what you have to do is you have to be kind. These 18 to 22 year olds that come on our campus do not feel vulnerable, and the data shows that they are not vulnerable. Very few of them even know that they have the virus, let alone get severely inflicted. But then there's a 76-year-old university president, and I'm going to teach a course in the fall, and I'm going to teach it in person, and I want them to understand that they have to be kind to each other, and that means that they have to be adults and enforce the use of masking and distancing and a variety of other things. And if they do, if students act in that kind of appropriate fashion, if they peer review themselves, if they do the kind of things that they should be doing, then we are going to have a very good year. If they don't, then we have a different kind of issue. I get notes from parents. I just wrote a parent the other day and said, look, let me tell you something. You're concerned about your daughter coming to the university. Let me tell you something. I'm concerned about your daughter coming to university, but you need to be a parent and make certain that your daughter does the right kinds of things in terms of health protocol, and she's going to be fine.
Dr. Gordon Gee joining us on the show right now. If there's no college football, what would that do to your athletic programs?
Well, I think it would do grave financial damage, no doubt about it. As you know, football drives everything else. At Ohio State, we have 36 intercollegiate sports. I think I think that only football and maybe basketball, men's basketball, made any kind of revenue neutral, revenue positive results. So, and it's the very same here. So, the damage would be serious. And in terms of the financial issues, but in the end, we have to do what is right for our students and for our community. We can't simply be driven by the economics. We have to be driven by all of the factors that we're considering right now.
I know we talk about dire straits at times with the whole model of not just sports. We talk about how virtual learning could really alter how things go at these universities. And this is just a question I've always wondered. Why do these universities have such big endowments, which seems like they could be rainy day funds, when it looks like we're having the rainiest of rainy days? At what point do you think universities around the country would dip into something like that as they continue to grow?
Well, I think that universities, you know, we're doing something. We're raising a lot of money in terms of scholarship support right now. When I was at Ohio State in 2008, we did the very same thing in order to make certain that the financial issues for our students were ameliorated. The problems with these large endowments, or the problems with endowments period, is the fact that almost all of the money is designated for very specific purposes. Scholarships for X, chairs for Y, buildings, a variety of other things. There's very little discretionary money that any university president can call on out of the endowment. And that, of course, is part of the challenge that we have.
Doctor, who has the better fight song, West Virginia or Ohio State?
Oh, let me tell you something. You are getting, that's like asking me to choose among my children. You know that? I will say this. This is really interesting. You know, both of them have great bands, and they have great fight songs. Of course, you know, Country Roads is iconic. Mm-hmm. You hear it in every part of the world, as a matter of fact. But both, there are very few institutions that are called John Philip Sousa marching bands, and both Ohio State and West Virginia have those high quality bands. So it's a pleasure to be back. You know, this is my second time at West Virginia also.
Mm-hmm. Will your career be complete unless you get to dot the I?
Well, I did dot the I. I dotted the I. I'll say a very funny story very quickly. I was offered the presidency of the University of California in 1995, and I turned it down, and the New York Times reporter asked me, why'd you turn it down? And I said, well, because I always wanted to dot the I, and so they let me do it.
Wow.
Great story, huh? I'm one of the few. John Glenn, a couple of other people.
Jack Nicklaus,
Yeah. Well, it was a great thrill for me, I can assure you.
Doctor, we can't thank you enough for the time. Always engaging, always very giving with your time. We know there's a lot of Buckeye fans here, but we will be pulling for the Mountaineers, and we will hope to have a football season this year.
Yeah, well, we all hope the same. And thank you very much. Have a great day, okay?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.